This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, welcome to it, San Diego. Monday, getting it underway. A new week here on Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello and Matt Scraby together today. Tony Gwynn Jr. is idle. I don't blame Tony Gwynn Jr. He's got a full season of Padre baseball ahead.
This has been on the books quite some time.
Yes, he will be heading down to spring training next week, so he gets one, smartly, one vacation week before the broadcasting commitment begins.
It's not that big.
We'll be without Tony for the week. In fact, we'll be without me tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Scraby's pretty excited about that.
It's Scraby and Soprenant tomorrow.
Scraby will be controlling the airwaves tomorrow afternoon. It could be a little crazy.
I wish it was today because I could have just made fun of the Chiefs for 4 hours.
Well, we may do that.
Okay, good.
It's very look, they did enough stupid and wrong things that we could easily make fun of them for 4 full hours. So we'll certainly get into that. Padres continue, and I'm stealing this, but I think it's a perfect description of what the Padres are doing. So I'm stealing this from Jeff Sanders, writer for the San Diego Union-Tribune.
Yes.
Nicely done, Jeff. He began his story today in the paper by saying the Padres have purchased another lottery ticket in signing Gavin Sheets to a minor league deal. And I read that and I go, yeah, that's it. They're taking out lottery tickets. They got the Jason Hayward lottery ticket.
I don't want that lottery ticket.
Well, we'll discuss that further. We will. We got the Connor Joe lottery ticket.
I'm okay with that one.
We got the Gavin Sheets lottery ticket. We have, I think, Forrest Wall. We have a lottery ticket on him.
Tirso Ornelas maybe is a lottery ticket.
Yeah, at least he's a... he's part of the organization, as it were.
Yeah.
So I don't consider that. That's one of their own. That's one of their own.
Okay.
But to me, going out and, you know, you're just signing somebody and hoping that you click. I mean, it worked last year.
It did.
Jerkson Profar was no better than a lottery ticket. Believe me.
He's making the same amount as Connor Joe.
Signed. So, yeah. So, yeah, they're buying some lottery tickets. We'll discuss their purchases with Sammy Levitt on the program at the bottom of this hour. The Aztecs may have played themselves right out of the NCAA basketball tournament, but fear not, San Diego may be represented in March Madness. We will discuss that on the program as well. And one bit of, you know, this isn't bad news. Well, it's bad news. Tiger Woods has to pull out of the Genesis.
Yeah.
And, you know, that everyone was excited by this. I mean, you're going to go see this guy play one last time. You don't know if you'll ever get another chance. And honestly, you may not now. Obviously, his mother passed away last week. Tiger has announced that he will not be playing this weekend at Torrey Pines. So that's too bad.
My first thought was, why say you're going to play on Friday just to take it back on Monday?
He did say it on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and his mother had already passed away.
And I'm not going to, like...
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going to come down on him for it, but it is... Never mind. It doesn't matter.
No, it's not worth coming down on the guy. When you're... Look, a family member passes away, especially somebody who's close, your mom... Maybe, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be taken care of.
I was just disappointed.
We're all disappointed. Yeah. We're all disappointed. But nothing or nobody was more disappointing than the chefs yesterday. It was a debacle in every sense of the word.
Holy shnikes!
Yeah. You look up in the third quarter and that new little score box that Fox had to debut yesterday. You know, because Fox has to always be a step ahead of
It's every they, I saw an article about this. Every year, the Super Bowl gets a new score bug.
Well, don't do that anymore.
I didn't mind it. I thought it was less busy, which is okay.
Just agree with me or not, but don't your eyes and your mind get used to a certain score
box? Of course,
box?
Yes.
So the entire game, I was adjusting to this one.
So you have so many issues.
I do. I have a lot of problems, and I can't be the only one. I didn't think it was necessary. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't necessary.
That's what we're going to see next year, probably.
I don't know. You won't. You'll see something you just said. They update it every year. Anyway, when I looked at that in the third quarter and it said 34-0, like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be absolutely kidding me. In the history of the Super Bowl, and there's been some mismatches in the Super Bowl. People, you know, we've had some good Super Bowls the last 10, 15 years in general. Most of this generation, Scraby, and maybe the generation before this one, think the Super Bowl is usually kind of an exciting game. It was horrible for the first 20, maybe 25 years of its existence. 55-14, 42-10. These are a couple that jump to mind. There were more just like it. Almost every Super Bowl was completely one-sided for the first 25 or 30 years. But never was one that one-sided. The most points ever scored in a Super Bowl before the other team scored had been 24-0.
Really? Even the game between the Seahawks and the Broncos wasn't that bad.
It was bad. Oh, you know what? That was 29-0.
Okay, but
so
still,
I take it back. That was 29-0.
That's the only one that comes to mind.
Right, that's the only other one. But this was, I mean, this. Here's the thing. The Broncos were not yet a championship team. Remember, they went on and won the next Super Bowl, right? Or the year after, they beat Carolina.
Yes, yes, yes.
But they were not yet a Super Bowl team. Some of the blowouts, some of the great blowouts have come over teams that were just getting there for the first time, you know, something like that. A team that was, you know, maybe young. This happened to a championship pedigree team.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that stood out to me. The Chiefs not only are, but will always be thought of as one of the great teams in NFL history, and their coach and their quarterback will forever be remembered as one of the greatest combinations of coach-quarterback in the history of the NFL. You got Bill Walsh, Joe Montana. You got Belichick and Brady. You got Reed and Mahomes. That list is pretty short.
Yeah.
You know?
It is short.
And for that to happen to that team was the thing that got me. And, you know, there can be games can get away with a bunch of turnovers. The turnovers certainly hurt. I'm not going to take that away. But that's not the storyline. It was such a mismatch at the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disaster for the Chiefs. And as I kept watching it, I realized what you realized and what was said many times after the game. The Eagles did not call a single blitz in the game.
That's insanity.
But they did not have to.
No.
There was no reason to change. Their four guys were consistently getting pressure. And do you remember when the Giants shocked Brady and the Patriots?
Brady said last night he still can't get over it.
But it was four guys rushing him that did it for the Giants.
Michael Strahan, Justin Tucker.
It was four guys doing it.
Not Justin Tucker.
And then four years later, the Giants beat them again. And again, it was just because they rushed four. And when Seattle beat Peyton Manning up in the Super Bowl, they didn't blitz either. It was four guys. That is the secret to being able to beat a quarterback of this caliber. You have to get pressure somehow with four guys. It's much easier said than done. Very few people can do it. Because if you can blitz, or not blitz, but rush four.
Just drop everybody
else back.
You got
seven guys covering three receivers.
It's impossible for the quarterback.
They're not going to get open.
And the Chiefs don't have the wide receivers to get open.
Not really.
DeAndre Hopkins, he's old.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, Hollywood Brown, these guys have all, their best days are all ahead of them.
Xavier Worthy is the only one that's
He's the only one, and he ended up having a nice game.
And but she writes whenever he comes back.
Way too late. But you've got to be able to do this. And I know that a lot of people around football are demagoguing Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles.
This is a Chris take for sure.
Please. He couldn't stop my grandmother's offense for two straight years as the defensive coordinator of Miami. Do not tell me that he's a genius. The difference is he had crappy players in Miami, and he's got great players now, and all of a sudden, now everyone's calling him a genius because he stopped the Chiefs. Here's the other thing. He did it without even having to call a play. We just said they didn't blitz the whole game.
I mean, he had to call coverages.
You know what I mean, though. I mean, it was basically, it says keep it normal. Keep
this
it straight defense.
This is you
defense.
Being mad because he won a Super Bowl and didn't do anything with
it. It is me being a little mad that he was with the Dolphins and he, of course, did nothing. But, you know what? Andy Reid, this is not going to go on his highlight reel.
No.
Because it started going badly and he never changed a thing. And so that meant Vic Fangio could just keep doing what he was doing. You've got to make some changes if you see what's happening out there. And there was nothing done, but it was an awful performance. And I want to say one last thing. Do not make the mistake of totally letting Patrick Mahomes off the hook by saying that his offensive line didn't give him time to throw.
He was bad.
He was flat out bad.
He made lots of mistakes that he doesn't make.
He missed receivers that he shouldn't miss early in the game when it was still 0-0, 7-0, 10-0. He had guys open to move the chains. He missed everybody. And the two interceptions he threw, guaranteed, Scraby, if Tua threw those, or Brock Purdy, or any other guy you want to name,
you'd crush them.
You'd say, what are they doing? What are they thinking? Well, okay, what was he doing? What was he thinking? He played an awful game, and he admitted such afterwards because he's a stand-up guy.
Yes.
But he had a terrible game, too. So don't give it the old, well, he didn't have a lot of time to throw thing. He didn't, but he played awful. So it was just a complete disaster for the Chiefs, and
they tried.
I guess we should all celebrate that to a certain extent because that's kind of what we all wanted.
The the first penalty of the game, I got up and I said, "You can't be kidding me!
Everybody said that. You did a John McEnroe.
I was like, "So yeah, you're kidding me?
No, you cannot be serious.
Sorry, yes,
yeah.
Because
no, everybody said that.
Fourth down.
Oh, I know.
First penalty called of the game,
yeah,
and the Chiefs got it. And I think everybody in America thought, okay, this is where the Chiefs
win. Here we go again. Yeah.
But you know what? The Eagles played so well, the refs weren't even a factor.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed that they changed out the officials at halftime to try to get a better crew. No, they didn't.
So the Chiefs are complaining about You know what, Chris? Remember those stats about them in the playoffs never having more penalties than the other team or penalty yards? Guess what happened last night?
I don't know.
The referees actually called penalties on the Chiefs, and they lose the game.
Well, they didn't lose, or the Eagles didn't win because of the refs.
The Eagles won because they were good.
Complete demolition. All
and
right,
even though Saquon Barkley did nothing. That's crazy.
Wouldn't have expected it, but there it is. Philadelphia. Champions. We'll take a break. More on the Super Bowl. Check in on what the Padres did, who they bought as their lottery tickets. Sammy Levitt with some Padre discussion as well in this 2 o'clock hour.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour. Want to congratulate the fine citizens of Philadelphia. According to police reports, celebrations in the city of brotherly love last night. Remember, they call it the city of brotherly love, which is ironic in the first place.
Yes.
Celebrations last night led only to dozens of arrests.
Oh.
That was it.
Okay.
The worst charge that anybody got was aggravated assault and attacking a few police officers.
Wait,
not bad.
Whoa. You can't just slip in and attacking a few police officers.
That was it. The Philadelphia people were pretty well behaved.
No one fell off of any poles
that we know of.
No one ate horse manure like after the last Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. God, I hope not.
Did you remember that?
I don't remember
that. When the Eagles beat the Patriots,
I put that out of my mind.
Was so excited that on camera,
okay,
ate horse manure.
Never mind. Fans did set a few fires, climbed on a few sanitation trucks.
You're acting like this.
Isn't it?
No.
Yes, it is. In this day and age, it's very normal, unfortunately.
We shouldn't be setting any fires. We shouldn't be knocking over cars. Can you imagine, like, you come outside, your car's upside down, and there's somebody sleeping in it?
Of course I'd be livid.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Come on, people.
A couple of things I hated about the Super Bowl. Nothing to do with anything that you might be thinking about. I hated the fact that the game score went over.
Oh, me too.
I thought it was an under game. There was very little yardage gained in the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, Patrick Mahomes, God love him, had to keep flinging deep passes at the end of the game. So 62 points went way over.
It did.
Even though it really seemed like defenses kind of controlled the game. As a matter of fact, the Chiefs defense played pretty well. Right?
They just had to take over.
How many long drives did they give up? One?
Yeah.
And they gave up one long drive and one long pass. Other than that, the Chiefs' defense was pretty good. The Eagles' defense, we already know, was incredible. But then they brought in some subs, I think, in the fourth quarter. And anyway, so I hated that, and I hated the fact that your shot at the dartboard.
Yes!
Xavier Worthy.
I knew it!
Ended up having the best fantasy game of any player in the Super Bowl.
When he caught the second one, I was like, because I could have easily been the goat of the conversation, good goat.
Yeah, you were the goat of the conversation, but Xavier Worthy, if you had him to do fantasy stuff yesterday, man, he had a big number day.
Even though
it was all in defeat.
You actually picked the two kickers, and one of your kickers was great. Oh, yeah. One of your kickers didn't even see the field.
I know. Harrison Butker tried a couple of onside kicks.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Did anybody miss Harrison Butker? No, I didn't miss him, nor did anyone.
I mean, I'm surprised that he was involved. I am so surprised at how yesterday went, because I thought the Chiefs were going to be celebrating. You know what I also think, Chris? The Chiefs were a little bit too ahead of their skis on this one. They got the okay from Pat Riley.
The three-peat thing.
They already announced their parade plans. They weren't going to really have a big parade.
Never really seen anybody announce parade plans
before
and
the game.
Well, now I've seen them do it, but they never win.
Exactly.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Yeah,
no matter who you are,
if you privately go to Pat Riley and say, "Hey, if we win, can we use this?"
Don't make a deal out of it.
Yeah, don't make it a news story.
Yeah,
you know the Eagles said that. That's
the
what
Eagles
motivated
said. A lot
them.
Of that motivated them for sure. But it didn't matter what blocked or tackled or ran or pushed or
this was an Eagles.
This
win.
Was just a dominant
performance.
We're going to talk plenty more about the Super Bowl. We have our good, bad, and ugly a little later. Kick around some of the commercials, you know, all the usual post Super Bowl stuff. But I want to get into what the Padres have done since we were last here, and that was Friday.
Yes.
On Friday, they Connor Joe. And I think, I'm sure there's a few people out there who hate it, but I think for the most part, it was pretty well received around here. Like, we know
for
he's not going to, yeah, right. Yeah. He's not going to, you know, lead us by himself to the championship.
I said that those very words on the Scravey Show Friday night.
Yeah,
He's
a good addition. Everybody seems to be pleased. Then, late Friday night, as if they were trying to kind of sneak him into town without anybody noticing, Jason Hayward was signed. Now, on the surface, Jason Hayward is far superior to Connor Joe. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Connor Joe does not have 5 Gold Glove awards.
That's true.
Right? I mean, not just one. Jason Hayward didn't just sneak one. 5 Gold Glove awards. Connor Joe's never been anywhere near the All-Star game. Connor Joe's never been anywhere near Rookie of the Year. Connor Joe's never been anywhere near 20 home runs in a season. But anybody's very excited about Jason Hayward. That's all I'm saying. I don't think he doesn't, to me, move the needle at all. And anything that he does beyond getting DFA'd sometime around July is going to be a little surprising to me based on what he has been doing recently. He hit 15 homers for the Dodgers in 23, which is okay. I would take that. Last year, he hit 10. But his overall batting average last year was .211. He was pretty much an automatic out, right?
I mean,
he didn't walk any. He didn't steal any bases. He probably can still play an okay field. I mean, he's not going to be as quick as he once was. But if he got 5 Gold Gloves, I got to believe you can still do that. But Jason Hayward doesn't interest a lot of people. At least that's the perception I have.
I'm with you. It doesn't interest me. I mean, Jason Hayward's been a great player his entire career.
Pretty good. Not great.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Above average.
Okay, I'll give you that. He's never hit 300. He's never driven in more than 75 runs.
Well, what I'm saying,
you know what
is,
I mean?
Reminds me of the Nelson Cruz, Matt Carpenter signings that I'm just not a fan of. You cannot go into the season platooning Connor Joe and Jason Hayward in left field. I knew that left field was going to be an issue this year. I knew they were going to have to do something this year.
Okay.
But Jason Hayward's not
That's
the
not
other
doing
part
it
of
for
it.
You.
That's not the
I do
part.
Take it back. Jason Hayward had 82 RBIs 13 years ago. Other than that, he's never been over 75. Now, I think Connor Joe is the guy that is perfect to play against left-handed pitching, play a little first base, maybe DH, whatever you get, and he can fill in a lot of different ways. Jason Hayward, make no mistake, what, 65-75% of pitchers are right-handed, which means that Jason Hayward's going to be in the lineup almost every day.
Yeah.
And I don't see that working out either. So I'm agreeing with you. Now, they have added Gavin Sheets, who's a, couldn't make the White Sox. I mean, that's all you need to pretty much know about him. He's 28. Yep. He was a second-round draft choice. So at some point, somebody thought great of Gavin Sheets. But maybe he's the guy. Maybe it really will be Forrest Wall. Maybe it will be Ornelius Tanella. What am I? Let me get it right. Terso Ornelas.
Yes, Terso.
I thought Ornelas was his first name for a minute.
No. I've learned that it's Terso, not Tirso.
Tirso. Mike Russo, Oscar Gonzalez, Jonathan Perlaza.
Yep.
These are all, at the moment, what Jeff Sanders wrote in the paper.
Yeah.
They're all lottery tickets. They hope that somebody hits.
One
as of now, but I don't. Well, you hope so. I just really think that they need to do some more. I do. If this is it, I'm going to be a little disappointed. I think, you know, the Alex Verdugo thing raises it up quite a bit. If you can afford him. And I keep hearing his name mentioned. Why? He's one of the only guys remaining. That's why. But I don't think this is enough yet. I think you're a little shy at this point.
And we also have to say, in a vacuum, this move doesn't make sense, but there could be more moves, and Jason Hayward could be a fourth bench guy.
Fourth outfielder Jason Hayward seems fine.
Yes.
But starting...
veteran presence.
Starting 75 to 80% of the time in left field...
not happening.
I don't see it.
Now, the chat is kind of defending Jason Hayward a little bit.
Well, good.
Which I'm not sure. Tell me why Jason Hayward's a good fit.
Yeah,
for
what
this
is
team.
It that stands out about you to Jason Hayward? I mean, I'm looking in this decade, all right? You want to go back to 2011, 12, 13, okay. You had some pretty good years. But I'm talking 2021 and on, 214, 204, 269, 211. You know, I see six home runs, I see eight. I see one because he was hurt. I see 15. I see 10. I don't see much.
Yeah.
I don't see much.
I don't either.
So
I was very confused by this signing.
I'm not confused. They're doing what they have to, what they need to do.
Yes, in that regard,
you're
right.
What they really kind of are left with having to do. But in my opinion, I don't think Jason Hayward is a 75% of the time starter.
I don't either.
And that's what he would project out to be as the left-handed hitting part of the platoon. So,
you know, I've been also reading a lot that Connor Joe is statistically better at first base. So maybe the platoon thing isn't going to be...
It has to be, because Connor Joe does not hit right-handed pitching.
Yeah.
His career stats, I mean, look, I'm no analytic guy, you know that.
No, I know.
But
we're just looking at...
He's done. Connor Joe does not hit... left-handed or right-handed pitching. He's a right-handed batter. He hits left-handed pitching, which is great. But you're going to be asking for something that has not been done with Connor Joe. Right-handed pitching in his career, .235. 21 home runs. Not enough. All right. Take a break. More to come. Sam Levitt. We'll see what he has to say about these signings. Maybe he likes them a little better than we do. More Gwen and Chris. All right, one thing that Scraby and I agree on, Jason Hayward, not going to be what we're hoping for. It's our prediction. A lot of people on the chat think we're flat out wrong. Let me say this. I hope you guys are right. I hope he has. But then people say he's going to have a career year. That's unlikely at this stage of his career. But even a career year for Jason Hayward is 20 home runs and 70 RBIs. I guess we would certainly take that. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
He's not going to go 35-110 and finish in the top 10 of the MVP balloting.
You know, we have Sam on, by the way, Chris.
Yes,
just,
I know.
Just to let you know.
We do. And he's right there, and we're going to get him here.
I just wanted everybody to know, because he's sitting on camera very politely.
Hello, Sam Levitt. Let me see him there. Let me see. Oh, there he is.
Hello,
the newest
greetings
resident,
from,
the newest
yes,
resident of Ocean
from,
Beach.
That's right. Greetings from OB. Very,
welcome.
Very close to the water.
Very good, Sam.
And,
you are becoming a Southern California guy, you know?
I mean, poor guy's trying to tell us about OB, and you won't let him.
From crusty old New Yorker to beach bum in OB.
Yeah, well, I think I followed the typical path for a San Diegan, right? You move to PB, you put in your time there, kind of like the college party area, and then you move on, right? And and you move on to a different area. So that area for me was OB, moved in on Monday, and now I'm getting ready to leave the place for 6.5 weeks.
Yes,
but the good news is that I got unpacked. I'm in a pretty good spot. Nothing on the walls yet, nothing decorative, but I'm in a pretty good spot, and I'll deal with the rest when I get back.
Now, Sam, I recommend that after this move south from PB to OB, you reverse direction from here on out, and you go north. Mm. La Jolla, Del Mar. You know, move up to those.
Well, he can't afford all those places.
Oh, he's going to be able to afford it. You know, he's going to take over the station before long.
I mean, it's already happened, Chris.
I get you. All right, it's so Sammy's happened. On his way to Peoria tomorrow. Sam, give me, you know, your breakdown. I called them lottery tickets, and I stole that from Jeff Sanders, so I'm giving him credit for it. But that's what the Padres are doing right now, isn't it? I mean, they're taking a bunch of shots on some guys, and they don't have to all work out, just hopefully a couple of them do.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we're being honest about it, it's probably not all that dissimilar from what they did with Jerks and Profar this time a year ago. And that was taking, I don't even want to call it a gamble because you were only paying the guy $1 million. So it wasn't much of a gamble, but you at least gave him a shot after, let's remember, what was a really difficult year for Jerkson in 2023, and it worked out wonderfully. Now, is there any guarantee of that with Connor Joe and Jason Hayward? Of course there isn't, but it's relatively low risk because you're not paying those guys very much at all. And look, I think if you want to look at it from the macro sense as a fan and be disappointed that the Padres, you know, for one reason or another, haven't been able to, you know, to fill that gap in left field with a bigger contract, with maybe a bit more of a notable name, that's fine if you're unhappy with that. But I think we're at the point in the offseason where we have to live in the reality a little bit, and that appears to be where, hey, this was the type of move they were going to be able to make, at least for now, in that left field spot. And look, the options, if you don't bring Connor Joe in, if you don't bring Jason Hayward in to platoon out there, or at least give it a shot at the start of the season, what are your options? I mean, Tirso Ornelas, I mean, all respect to Tirso. We don't know what he is. He's been in the organization forever. If he gets a chance, he could go out there and crush it and make a name for himself. But we don't know what Tirso is at the major league level. Certainly, you would have assumed before these moves that he would be a real candidate to win a job out there. I don't know that that's the case anymore with these two moves, although we'll see what Tirso does during spring training. But look, you Tirso Ornelas, Brandon Lockridge, some other guys that you brought in on minor league deals. I mean, it's not like Hayward and Joe are taking playing time away from anybody guaranteed at all to win a job at a spring training. So I'm really okay with it. Again, in the big picture, you know, I understand, you know, if, you know, fans are a little frustrated by it just because of the type of offseason it's been. But I think living in the here and now and the reality of where they're at and what's on the market right now for a corner outfield spot, I think it's certainly worth the signings and is really a low risk move for both these guys. And look, if you want to look at it as a platoon, I mean, the thing that I really lean into with these two guys, and I know Craig was talking about it earlier, you may have talked about it, in your first couple of segments, is that Jason Hayward, traditionally very, very good against right-handed pitching, and Connor Joe's career numbers are very good against left-handed pitching. So that would scream maybe a real strict platoon against lefties and righties. We'll see how it shakes out, but you hope that, you know, whether you want to use the term lottery ticket or lightning in a bottle, you know, you hope you catch a little bit of something, and if not all the production that you'll lose without Jerks and Profar, you hope that you at least get some of it. And look, I know this is a super long answer, sorry, but
keep going. It's a good answer.
The reality is too.
We got another 10 minutes in the segment. Come
okay,
on, Sam.
Cool.
Pick it up.
I know. No, well, no Tony today, so I'm trying
true,
to
yes,
give you guys
you
a break.
You're covering beautifully.
Yeah, I also think the reality with this team offensively heading into the year, heading into Peoria, is that this lineup, as is, has a lot of star power. And is it a perfect lineup? No. I mean, you know, do we know what they're getting out of left field? No. Do we know what they're getting out of catcher? No. Do we know what they're getting out of the DH spot? Not really. You know, those are three spots in your lineup. I don't want to minimize that, but you have got a top half of the lineup that should be extremely productive if these guys are healthy. So I don't know that you needed, you know, a big time name in left field. If you can get enough production out of left field via Joe or Hayward or one way or another, I think it could work out pretty nicely. So we'll see. You know, you hope it's, you know, a guy like Hayward who's older, you hope it's more a signing like a Profar, like a Solano, like a Peralta, and not so much what we saw the year before in a Nelson Cruz and a Matt Carpenter, and time will tell.
We're talking to TikTok legend Sam Levitt here on 97.3 The Fan.
Who is referring him to? You? Is
Me.
That your?
Yes. Okay. On the graphic that I made, it says a legend in the making for one of his descriptors, and also wherever Sammy goes, the champagne flows. So we're going to continue with that, Sam. But I wanted to talk to you about Connor Joe in this aspect, because someone over the weekend was saying that we're overlooking the fact that he is a pretty good first baseman. Now, I brought it up to Chris earlier. He makes a good point that he can't be a starting first baseman on an everyday level. How much first base do you think we're going to see him play?
Yeah, I think there's a chance you'll see him play there quite a bit, right? Because, you know, unless Luis Arraez is going to just play first base every day, and I don't know that he is, you know, I certainly think you could see, depending on how these guys are swinging it, and again, depending on who else this team brings in, over the course of the next month and a half, I still think they're not done here, whether that's a big move or other smaller moves. Look, you could see lineups where Hayward's in left and Connor Joe is playing first base and Luis Arraez is your DH. Like, I could see scenarios. Again, it's hard to say until we see the full picture of this roster, because they still have needs. And still that DH first base spot, if you want to put Joe really more as a left field type, you know, still kind of murky of how they're going to fill that. So, look, I think positional versatility for somebody like him is important. It's important for any player. And if Connor Joe can show up and do some nice things offensively, you know, look, I think he can certainly play himself into the lineup more, and having that positional versatility is certainly something that can help. Look, we saw that, you know, if you want to compare it to bringing in a Donovan Solano last year, who could play some third, who could play some first base, and there are other examples on last year's team as well. So versatility is good. And, you know, look, if he's hitting the ball well, I think there are probably scenarios where you'll see him at first base and, you know, see Arraez as DH, or maybe it's a day where they get Jake Cronenworth off his feet and maybe Arraez goes to second base, you know, a time or two over the course of, you know, a month or so. So we'll see. But versatility is good.
Sammy Levitt is with us. He is the Padres pre- and post-game show host. He's also a part-time broadcaster for the Padres. Had a couple of fine assignments last year. We expect to, you know, hear him hopefully behind the mic a little more this year, too. I'm just saying.
Chris is putting it out there in the universe.
I'm putting it out there for you, Sam. Are the Padres done in your mind? And would you be okay with that being the case, Sam?
Do I think they're done? No, okay. I don't. I find that hard to believe. Even if it's not a big move, I would imagine there are going to be some other smaller deals that come through. I just don't see how there isn't. I mean, right now, you know, I don't know, other than some of these kind of quadruple A type guys that they have, who's going to be on this bench, you know, other than a Tyler Wade, who certainly will be there. You know, I think at the very least you'll see some smaller moves. I just think they need it to fill out this roster. But look, I think the looming question is going to be, Chris, that you know, is there something big down the pipeline here at some point? Is there going to be a major trade? Are they going to move a Cease? Are they going to move a Suarez or a King or an Arraez? Again, you're starting to get the feeling based on the rumors that maybe that's not going to be the case. I personally hope it's not the case. If I were AJ Preller, and I'm not, my opinion is I'd almost rather roll with this team and these guys than make a major trade and create another hole. I think they are good enough as is to hang around at the very least until the summertime, and then you assess things from there, and you add how you have to add, and we know AJ's very good at the deadline. So look, my prediction is I don't think there will be a big move, but I do think there will be smaller moves still to be made. And you know, look, I think it's just the necessity. And as prices come down, as we get into spring training, I would not be surprised if, you know, there's another, you know, major league contract or two given out. But at this point, I'd be surprised if there was a big time move where they moved somebody and got multiple pieces back. But of course, I think that's going to be the looming question is, in an off season where at times it seemed like that was inevitable, is that something they're ultimately going to do before we hit opening day? And I think that's a pretty looming question still over spring training.
I agree with that. We're talking to Sam Levitt here, 97.3 The Fan, and Sam is going to be departing for spring training tomorrow. So he'll be on the scene on Wednesday when Padres pitchers and catchers report to Peoria. But I heard Harold Reynolds earlier, Sam, on MLB Network, and he seems to want to trade all of the Padres stars. He's talked about Fernando. Now he's saying Dylan Cease and Michael King might be traded. Like that is a sign of a rebuild to me. Is there any chance in your mind, and I know the answer is yes, there's a chance, but in your mind, to trade both of those guys before the season, or at least
Cease and King?
Yeah, leading up to the season.
Or what about Fernando?
No.
I'm not
Harold Reynolds. Harold Reynolds said trade Fernando. Oh. So,
well, just because Harold Reynolds says it doesn't mean
I get that. No, we're asking you how crazy that
so
would
you
be.
Agree that that's crazy. That at least is crazy.
Yeah. Look, my opinion on where the Padres are right now, this is my opinion, okay? I'm not saying that, you know, anything's for sure. Again, to me, that is a looming question as we get to Peoria tomorrow and Wednesday. You know, are they going to do something very, very significant as far as a trade at some point? I think that's a fair question to ask based on the rumors all offseason, based on what they need, all those things. But I am of the opinion, if I'm in the front office right now, that I would rather, I think your team, your core is good enough where I would rather roll with what you got, Cease, King, Arise. If I had to trade somebody, it would probably be Robert Suarez. And I love Robert Suarez, and he was great for the most part last year. But I just think your bullpen is deep enough where that would be the spot where you could lose him. You could lose somebody and get some stuff back to fill some other gaps. So that would be the guy I would look to move if I'm looking to move anybody. But aside from that, guys, I'm of the mindset here on February 10th as I get ready to leave for Peoria and, like, these guys are showing up. Where I'm like, you know, you got a good core of guys here. It's not going to be a perfect roster. But I think you've got enough to win and hang around and be right in this thing come. And then you assess it from there, you know, good or bad. And if you're not, then they may have to make some difficult decisions with a number of guys in walk years. But you're so far from that. And when you come off a season where you've won 93 games and you have the top six or so in a lineup that they have, and you have a King and a Cease and a Darvish and a really solid bullpen, I just can't walk into a season thinking that the worst is going to happen, or at this point that it would be smart to move both a King or a Cease, or both a Cease and an Arise. I mean, again, it's been a very quiet off season. It's not a perfect roster. I think we all understand that, but put me in the category of being more bullish on this team just based on what they did a year ago and based on who they've got. Like, there's been a lot of talk about who they don't have. And I think, and again, I'm not trying to trick any fans out there, but just take a second and think about who they do have. And to me, there's an argument to be made that could be good enough to be right in this thing in the summer, and then you assess it from there. And maybe you can be a little bit more aggressive come the trade deadline and you make a real run at this thing. I just, you know, you got stars on this team in their prime. To me, I am not punting on that whatsoever.
I don't want you to punt either, Sam. Don't want you to hurt your leg. Last time we had Scraby kick a field goal, he hurt his kicking muscle. And the rest
really
is history.
I didn't make the field goal either, so it was all for naught.
How long does it take you to drive down there, Sam, tomorrow?
I think it's about five and a half hours.
Five and a half. Scraby goes about 425.
I actually drive like just over the speed limit. I'm not a speed demon.
You're that guy that goes whizzing by.
No, I am not that person.
Well, how do you make it in four and a half when Sam's going five and a half? Come on.
I don't know how you can make it in four and a half.
I did make it in four and a half. That's the thing. Chris is just saying this to make me.
Probably make a pit stop in Yuma. Last year I kind of detoured and I went right or south, and what's the on the American side next to Mexicali?
El Paso?
Calexico?
No, Calexico.
And Calexico?
Oh.
Calexico is the city on the other side of Mexicali, right? Am I
accurate
about
that? It's on our side.
I have never once in my life thought, I'm going to go to Calexico.
I went off the highway. I went off the highway. I went to Calexico. I had lunch there. I don't think I'm going to do that this time.
No,
Calexico is great. I had a great time. I got some lunch. We'll see. Maybe I will do it again. But certainly that was around Yuma. So around Yuma, I'll get off, have some lunch. I probably will stop at Cafe Adesso in Alpine. That has become my sort of annual coffee stop on my way
plan.
Out there.
Say hello to them.
And head on.
Who is the Padre player? Here's a tough one. You got a minute or two left. Who is the Padre player that is most looking forward to seeing you?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
I don't think
who's going to be happy to see you, Sam? Come on.
I don't think anybody's going to be all ecstatic.
I think they all like Sam because he doesn't bug them. That's what I mean.
I think I'm fairly well liked. I don't think anybody's jumping for joy.
That's why I asked the question. I'm assuming there'll be a few guys that'll come walking out of their locker stall to say hello.
I look forward to seeing everybody. A lot of the staff members, a lot of people who work for the Padres who are around a lot. So, I love spring training. I really do. It's a good time. I'm excited. It's like a little sad that the off season's ending and you lose some of that freedom. But
perfectly normal to feel that way.
I'm looking forward to it. And I love spring training. I really do. It's a great time of year, a unique time of year. So I don't think anybody's going to be any Padres stars going to be like, "Hey, Sam, welcome back."
I think that's exactly what's going
to
happen.
Manny's going to walk up to you and be like, hey,
"Damn right,
you have an hour with me right now. Let's go."
Maybe we'll see.
Thank you, Sam. You know
who would have done it?
Who?
Jerkson Profar. He's the friendliest guy on the planet.
He is a friendly guy, but I don't know that he liked doing interviews.
Fran Mil Reyes would have come over and said hi.
Fran Mil Reyes would have definitely come
over.
When
are you guys coming?
Not for a while.
March 16th, we're driving out there.
Don't hold your breath. It'll be a while. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate all the insight.
See you soon
down there. All right, Sam Levitt, Padres, down in Peoria, starting tomorrow. Gwen and Chris, Daily Gambit, how'd we do on our Super Bowl props? Check in on that next.